Our journey today to the cross is a journey for answers. There's not a day that goes by that we don't truly ask the question, why? Why this? Why that? Why me? Why not something else happen? But we have questions. God never minds a question from you or me. God wants us to ask questions. But don't ever question God. You got what I mean on that? Don't ever question that He is God. Because you're wanting answers. And when you don't believe God is God, why would you expect an answer? For only God can give you the answer that you're seeking. Because those answers are personal. Just like the question. You're wanting to know where you fit into the journey for that period of time, and you just ask the question, why? Will God answer that question? Yes. He will. He will lead you in the right direction. Then what's our problem? The problem is we take the problem. What God has always asked of us is, whatever burden you have, give it to me. And our big problem is we want to be in charge of everything. In our life, we want to control it. Tell me how that's working for you parents with teenagers. For you parents with children. For you wives with husbands. That don't work too good, does it? God says, I will always be there for you. I will always watch after you. And there will never be a point that you'll ever hear God say to you, I don't love you anymore because of your foolishness. Now, folks, the questions are the same questions that's been asked since the Garden of Eden. And it's always been the same deceit since the Garden of Eden. Why do we refrain from pouring our heart out to the Christ that we say that we serve, and yet we hold back? Well, I'm going to hide that one from you, Lord. No, you're not. All you're doing is bringing on problems for yourself. Give it to the Lord. He says He understands. There's not a temptation, there's not a hurt, there's not a pain that you've gone through in your life that Christ did not go through. You will never go through the pain Christ went through. Because He accepted the pain. Now I'm talking about this as a physical. He accepted the physical human pain of all the billions of people that would ever exist. Past, present, and future. And He took the weight of their sin. And He loved their heart before they were ever conceived. God knows you. You are known well by Him. He has always sent deliverers. Again, there's no difference in the day that we're living in now and the days past. Out of the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe Manasseh was the smallest of the tribes of Israel. Now, Joash is the head of the tribe of Manasseh. It's about 1,000 people that he's in charge of. But now, let me tell you, he was in charge. And he took that serious. You know what his problem was? He had fallen into idol worship. He had the idol of Baal in his own home. And he had a son by the name of Gideon that didn't go along with that. Even though Gideon was taught in the ways of idolatry of Baal, there was just something wrong inside of Gideon, and Gideon rebelled against the Baal worship. Well, there was a tribe called the Midianites, anti-God, anti-Jew. They had raided everything that the tribe of Israel had put together, all their food and all. They would come in and raid and take everything. Until the point came to where Gideon himself, the son of Joash, and Gideon was small in stature and the smallest in his family. And all of a sudden, a fire is lit in Gideon. And that fire was burning from God. And God touched his life. And God said, now it is time. Gideon, it's time for you to stand up. And I want you to represent me standing in the tribe of Manasseh. Now think of this. Smallest tribe, least in stature, and nobody's paying attention to them. That's what happens. Well, I don't know who you're talking about. I haven't seen them on TV. Well, I don't know. I've never heard their name mentioned. God did. God created them. So God sends an angel. The angel comes in, and Jesus even intervenes in some of this. Yes, Jesus was on earth before Jesus was born, but that's a different sermon. But listen to this. In Judges 6, verses 13 through 14, the angel has come. And the angel says, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon is threshing wheat, hiding in the clefts of the rock. There ought to be a song on that, Randy.
I'll get right on it.
Thank you. In the clefts, he was hiding because they were stealing from him and taking their food. So he was hiding and threshing. And here comes the angel, that mighty man of valor. Now, can't you imagine what he felt like? Yeah, really. Mighty man of valor, look at me. Look what I'm doing, and I'm hiding. So Gideon wanted to know, why us? Why have you come here? Well, let me tell you a little more about that. See, Gideon's doing the threshing. He looks up, and he looks over, and he sees this person. And he sees this person sitting down way across the way. He sees this person sitting down, so he just takes it. This person is sitting there cooling off on his journey. And he goes back threshing. And all of a sudden he looks up, and there that person is who was way over yonder. Now this person is here, the angel of God. And he says in Judges 6, 13 and 14, if the Lord is with us, says Gideon, why has all this happened to us? Why? Now I want you to pay attention how God does this. He did the same thing with Moses, everyone he's ever called. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel. He did not answer why, did he? You won't hear him answering why. He came there to tell him what to do. For one thing, Gideon wouldn't understand the why answer. So God says to him, go in the strength you have. Now listen to me, folks. God doesn't expect to come to you counting you as a superman, superwoman. God comes to you in the strength that you have as a basic human being you are, which is so important to God's glory. God loves you like you are, and he comes to you, touching your life, touching your heart. And he said, I've chosen you. Why me, Lord? I'm a nobody. And the Lord lets you know, you're somebody to me. And let me tell you something, folks. At the end of this day on earth, the only thing that's going to be important to you is for you to know you're somebody important to your Creator. For there he stands, welcoming you with open arms and saying, come on, faithful servant. You've done what you could. And he looks to Gideon, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. He was fed up. I'm talking about God. God said, that's enough. Am I not sending you? There was his answer. Didn't need to why. God says, I'm sending you. Moses, I'm sending you. I don't need to explain. God does not need to explain himself to you. When you have that touch and God says, I'm calling you to preach, I'm calling you to teach, I'm calling you to do this, I'm calling you to do that, it's not going to do you any good to argue. Because the focus is the power that Christ puts in you, not your own power. You're right. You can't. Joash was upset, but he was upset with his own tribe because they said somebody tore down our, now this is a tribe of God who was worshiping Baal. They tore down our statue. They tore down what we worship Baal with. That somebody was Gideon. I mean, he wiped that thing out. And you know what they said to Joash? We know that it's Gideon that did it. Send him out that he may die. And Joash, God gave a little touch to Daddy at that time. And Daddy stands up and he says to all of them, if your God has been torn down, let him defend himself. Let him come after my son. But not one of you better even come close to him. Now you see, that's how God works. I don't care what kind of idol it is. I don't care what kind of power stands against you. My friends, there's nothing that can stand between you and your Savior. When God calls you and touches your life, just walk on. Just walk on. You just keep walking. Well, there's a brick wall there. You keep walking. Time you get there, God will make a hole. You keep walking. He said it is by faith. And there's your answer, Gideon. Go deliver. Gideon did. He stood and he got to the time to fight. And you know what God said? Stand back and watch me. Because Gideon's army had already been dropped to 300 people against an army they couldn't count. He couldn't even count their camels. That's how many was there. And God said, stand and watch. And as the lights and the trumpet that God had told him to do, puts the pitchers, let the torches shine, 300 people, the enemies ran out of their tent and they slaughtered one another. Gideon's 300, didn't lift a hand. Didn't have to. Don't you understand the power that Christ has given you, Christian? Don't you understand such love that he says, I will fight that battle for you, trust me. I will move the mountain. It's not you moving the mountain. It's God moving the mountain in your life. You just trust him that when you get there, that mountain's going to be moved. But he asked, why? Here's this mighty man of valor. Job. Oh, the man of patience. Job. Yes, Job had a whining session. Now he did. Job was a great man of patience. Job was a truster in God. Job believed God. And God was watching him as Job saw his 10 children slaughtered. Every one of them dead. Lost everything that he had. The wealthiest man on the planet at that time lost it all. And he never, never blamed God. But he did do a little whining. See, Christian, it's okay to whine. Don't let your pastor hear it. But it's okay. You go ahead and whine a little bit over it. But I got news for you. You belong to a Savior that he hears the whining. And he loves you right through it. Watch him work in your life. Listen to Job. Job is sitting there, lost it all. Job 3, 11 and 16. Why did I not perish at birth? This is what Job's saying. I've heard so much of this over my ministry. Woe is me, you know. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Or why was I not hidden in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? Why me, Lord? See? And God looks at all of us and he hears us whine. We got whiners. Your pastor has whined. Lord, please share this pain with Randy. I picked Randy. But think of it. And God said, that's enough. You got it? Not to Job. Because Job was a righteous man. Said so. God himself said so. Job had done nothing wrong. He was a victim of life and Satan. And then God intervened. Even though I'm a whiner, if I whine, God loves me. That doesn't stop his love. And God intervened. And God told all the wise men around him, all of you are wrong. This man sitting in the sackcloth and ashes, he's the only one here that knows the truth. And he has been normal. Normal. Meaning God saw it before. And God knew how he was going to react. And God was going to use his reaction to teach a lesson to you and me. It's written in the books. And God, as he looks at Job, he gives back Job twice of what he ever had. And I want you to stop and think about that. He lost 10 children. He got back twice of every other creature that he owned, plus land and all. Doubled it, God did. But he only gave him back 10 children. Wasn't that strange? Not at all. Job never had ceased to pray for his children because he prayed that through their ages of foolishness that God would watch over them and protect them. His first 10 weren't gone. They were just waiting for him in heaven. So therefore, he didn't need to give him 20 children, just 10 more. Think of life, my friend, as God watching over you individually in your life. That's how important you are. There's no such human being in existence that's not important to God. Therefore, we respect him. Then God asked Job this, and he asked you this. He asked me this. Here's God's question to us. You ready? Job 38:4. Hey, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Uh-oh. Where were you, Job, when I created everything that exists? And it continues in its creation automatically faster than the speed of light. To this day, God's creation has continued throughout universe after universe, new ones, faster than the speed of light. Where were you, Job, when I was doing this? I ask you, Christian, don't question God. Ask God questions, but don't question God. God uses evil, and God uses suffering. He doesn't bring it on me. He allows it to come on me because that's the process of life. Live your life and live your life to its fullness. But God allows that to come into our life not to drive us away from him, but to bring us closer. Some people will never bow a knee to God until some kind of tragedy strikes. So God allows the weight of life to supersede, to draw you closer to him. Brother Larry, I've heard long enough, I think. I think I'm about as close as I need to get. I'd appreciate a little relief. Don't you worry. You'll get the relief in God's time. And his time is always right on time. Every time. Never late. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never regret that kind of sorrow. The kind of sorrow that brings you closer to God, you'll never regret. For the closer you get, the closer the walk, the closer your heart to God's heart, the more power that you'll feel that comes within your life. God took the very worst thing I can think of, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. God took that crucifixion. I can't think of anything any worse. And he brought out the very best thing for my life and your life. Reconciliation. Being reconciled to that which is perfect. We have the faults. God does not. And yet through Christ and what he paid for you and me, we became reconciled. Colossians 1:19-20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now let me tell you, when he said all things, that means anything that's ever been created by God, God had reconciled to himself, belongs to him. Death will never take it away. Power of man can never take it away. Because God has declared through the blood of my son, even all things will see my salvation. How much more the greatest, the human life will be protected. I will save you, says Jesus. Whosoever calls on my name will be saved. Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Have you called on his name? Do you know Jesus? I got news for you, my friend. He knows you. And when you know him, there will be a peace that'll come in your life that you can imagine. All hell can be breaking loose against you, but all heaven has you surrounded. Because you're in the arms of Jesus. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for life, for love that only you can give, for the joy of salvation, for the peace, dear Lord God, that comes from you. We ask now, Father, as we ask so many questions in life, that the type of answers, Father, please continue to give us your way and not the way we ask for them. We thank you for loving us so much. Give us courage now for the week ahead and for the rest of this day. Give us the power to walk your path. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, your pastor loves you, if you've never heard me say that. I will always preach the word God gives me, the truth of his love for us. Are you a preacher of love? I serve a God of love. What else can I preach? I'm already a winner, no matter what happens. I've already won. God has given us all so many blessings. And folks, as you go this week, use common sense on this COVID stuff. Now, don't go crazy about it, but use common sense, okay? Our problem is, my main problem is, I don't believe half the stuff that I hear from government or anybody else anymore. And I know that most of you all don't either. Don't let them frighten you. But use common sense, because it's obvious there's a bad thing going on. Will Jesus protect you? Yeah, but don't have a case of the stupids with Jesus. I'm going to do this because I know I'm protected. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Use common sense, but use your freedom also. If you want to get the vaccination, get them. If you don't, you have the freedom not to. But you take other people into consideration, no matter what decision you make. It's not about you. I was told that years ago. It's about everybody around you. Let's do that as we go. Let's stand together. And remember, my friend, you're going to have a great opportunity this week. Please take time to look down in that ditch of life. You look down in that ditch of life, you'll see somebody hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. Reach that hand down in that ditch of life. You just might touch the hand of Jesus.